I think Yeah. just for a little bit. Right where you are, I just want you to worship him. From the overflow of your own hearts, worship him. Speak your own praise out to him, your own worship out to him. You can raise your hands up, you can bow down, you can come down here to the altar, I don't care. But whatever you brought here today, it doesn't change the fact that he is your Savior, that he is your Lord, and he is the one that will see you through. So why don't you just worship him anyways? Worship him no matter what you're going through. Oh, Jesus. We praise you, Lord Jesus. Lord, our hearts are for you. We give you everything. Lord, we give you everything. Thank you, Jesus. Us today in a tangible way. I believe he's here with us in a way to let you know that he's never left you. He hasn't forsaken you. This entire time he's been drawing your heart to him. To what he's doing, the things that he's saying. In order to stay in step with the Spirit, he will lead you, he will guide you in all things that you face in your life. So Lord, we worship you today and we praise you. That no matter what we brought here today, you will see us through. Necessary at times, you're going to pick us up. When times you're going to drop things into our spirit, there's times you're going to speak to us. There's times you're going to show us some things in your word. There are going to be moments where you open our eyes to see and our ears to hear. We thank you. Our life locked with you and step with you. Thank you, Jesus. Just worship him for that. We praise you. Oh, Lord, so wonderful, so good. Lord, we love you more than anything else. Thank you. Thank you.
through the shadow. Your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe. Shadow, you win every battle.
good morning, everybody. It is good to have you. Live streamers, wherever you're watching at, on Facebook, YouTube, or wherever we're live streaming at, it's good to have you. Say hi wherever you're at, or if you have a prayer need, please post that on those platforms, and we will pray for those after service today. But it's good to have you all. Let's take up tithe and offering. If you have something to give, you may prepare that at this time. Offering envelopes are in chairs in front of you. I think Miss Harper just needs to start preaching with me every week. I think she just has a lot to say. You know, I love it. She's in church preaching the word, I think. So we'll just take the interpretation of those tongues and proclaim the gospel. Amen. I love it. You know, if there are no babies in the house, there's no life in the house.
That's right.
Amen. So y'all keep on having them, and we'll keep on building our kids' church and the good things. God, you know, Jesus said, "Bring all the little children unto me." Amen. So we're always thankful for the kids in the house. If you need a prayer card, Mike has those. Wave your hand around, or if you need an offering envelope, Tom has some also. Wave your hand around, and the prayer cards, by the way, you can turn those in to me or one of the ushers, and they get prayed over at Monday Night Prayer. I also personally pray over those, so we love to pray for your prayer needs. All right, let's pray over your offerings. So if you have it, you can bring it down to these baskets. Lord, I thank you to be able to come together today, to be in your house today on this wonderful Sunday morning. We thank you that you are here with us. And Lord, that our worship is pleasing to you, our offering, our giving, our tithe is pleasing unto you, Lord. It's a continuation of our worship, Lord, that we honor you in every aspect of our life, including our finances, because you are our provider. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, we all say,
amen.
Amen. So Margaret's going to come down and give a couple quick announcements.
Is this on? Okay, good. I forgot my stuff. All right. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Hi. Isn't it beautiful out? I'm
yes.
So happy. All right. I just wanted to remind everyone, there is next steps. If it's right after service downstairs, if that's something you want to join and you haven't signed up, that's fine. You can come on down. Yeah, we have some snacks.
Yeah, next steps, if you're considering this to be your home church, next steps is for you.
Yeah, next steps is just tells you about our church and what you can do to get involved and all those sorts of things. Also, in the chair front in front of you, if you haven't filled out one of these contact cards, we'd really love it if you would do that. We promise we won't call you all the time or spam you with text. We just want to be able to get a hold of you. And also, these blue, it says, "You belong here" on the back.
Right.
So this gives you a little bit of information about the church too as well, if you need that. So
yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's it. By the way, if you fill out one of these cards, give it to Kelly. Kelly, wave your hand. She's back in the back with her little one. Give that card to her and she'll help you out.
Yep. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Are you good?
Yeah. I'm good. Are you good?
I'm good.
Okay, that's good.
All good.
Because if she's not good, generally that means I'm not good. So as long as she's good, I'm good. That's just the way that rolls. All right, a couple other announcements. Tonight at 6 o'clock is Youth Hangout, 5th to 12th grade, 6 p.m. We're going to be grilling some hamburgers and hot dogs for them and whatever, so bring them out. There's worship, there's the word, and some time together. So 5th through 12th grade, 6 o'clock tonight. Parents, if you drop them at 6, you can come back around 7:30-ish to pick them up. Also, we have the first Sunday of May the 5th, we're back to a little bit warmer weather, and I hate to not have this over the winter, but it's just the way it is, because we do our baptisms outside, so we kind of take a break from it. Not that we want to, but May 5th, the first Sunday of May, is our first water baptism of this year. So if you want to be water baptized, you're saved, but you've never followed through with the command of Jesus to be water baptized and all the things that it mean, not only for yourself, but the community of faith, there's a sign-up sheet at the back, and get your name on there. And I will be in contact with you and talk to you a little bit more about that. And then we'll take care of that on May the 5th and celebrate as a church together. And last but not least, we're already getting things moving for our summer VBS for our kids. So Amanda's going to come up and help me out with this announcement real quick. There's some things back on the back table, some sign-up sheets, and there's a board. So tell them briefly about the sign-up sheet and what the board is about, and so they can get involved for VBS this summer.
So we have a board back there that has sticky notes, and on each sticky note there is items that you can donate if you want to be able to contribute to VBS. And there's a sign-up sheet with a list of jobs that we need filled out. There's a little description that tells you what your position would be. So we're wanting the donated items by the first Sunday of June.
Okay. Yeah, so we can prep. VBS is the last. It's 23rd, 24th, 25th of June.
23rd, 24th, 25th.
Whatever
Don't
Amanda says, that's why she's giving the announcement.
Don't correct the pastor.
I think that was last year's dates. I think it was. So, or if you have questions, Sarah, wave your hand around. Where's Sarah? You can ask her too, because again, she knows more than I do. And so check out the board. But if you have questions about the board, pull that off, help out, or sign up for those 3 nights. We'd appreciate it. And our summer VBS is always a good time, so make sure you mark it on your calendar. And also, the dates for this year's youth camp for 5th to 12th grade is also out. I'll put the dates out about that. So good things happening this summer for our kids and our youth. All right, one more thing before we get our Bibles out. Where's Angela at? Angela Blair. Come on down, Angela. She contacted me yesterday, and I know she said she's like super nervous here, but even though she's nervous, she said she had a testimony she wanted to share for something that happened at work yesterday, right? So I'm going to give you the mic, so why don't you tell them the story that you were telling me.
Okay, well, hopefully I don't stutter because I'm not good about talking in front of people, so
you're all right.
Here we go.
I stutter all the time. I actually gave the wrong dates for the VBS right there, so you're fine. You're good.
All right, well, so most of you all know where I work. Yeah. And
Walmart.
Walmart. Okay. And yesterday I had this customer. I've known her for a long time. As many of you knew, previously, I've worked in the pharmacy at Walmart as well. So this lady's known me from back when I worked in the pharmacy. Well, she had just rang out her items, and I was standing up at my post where I normally am, and she was kind of like waving at me. I saw her, you know, she was at the self-check, and I was like, you know, I thought, oh, I'm like, that's so nice. I haven't seen her for a while, you know? And all of a sudden, the self-check, the lady that was working the self-check, she was asking her if she was okay because she was noticing her chest was bothering her. She said, yeah, I know, but I want to go, I have to go see Angela. And so she comes down my way. I said, well, hi. And she goes, Angela, I feel like I'm having a heart attack. Something's wrong. And I, all of a sudden, you know, like, when someone says, you know, feel like I'm having a heart attack, you just like, you know, I mean, that's deadly. Yeah. So I help her get on the bench, sat down, and all that. I had to run up to the service desk, get a hold of management to let them know what was going on. They came, and she was just really having, she was gasping, like having a hard time breathing and stuff. And I told her, she said she was, tried to get something to eat, see if snacks would help her. And she was talking about the Bible and stuff like that, and I thought she went to church. Well, I felt like the Lord was pressing on my heart to ask her if I could pray for her. Mm-hmm. And like, I really felt like the Lord was pressing it on me. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't going to hold it in. I thought, you know what, they can fire me. you know, the Lord will provide me money some other way.
All right.
You know, so I just asked her, I said, would you be all right if I prayed for you? And she started tearing up and getting all watery-eyed. She goes, I would love that. And so I prayed for her, and her chest pain started slowing down. They started stopping. She was able to breathe better.
Yeah.
And she gave me a hug, and she told me that that meant so much to her.
Yeah.
And, you know, I offered to take her home. I looked at my boss. I said, can I take her home? And she was like, well, as long as you don't hold her hostage. She goes, but it seems like this lady knows you. And she told her, she goes, I've known Angela for a long time. She used to help take care of me when I worked in the pharmacy. She was so good. But, you know, it's just, the power of prayer works, you know, for a long time, because I've had a lot of things happen to me in my life, and for a long time, you know, it's like I prayed and I feel like, God, don't you listen, you know, because I get frustrated sometimes. Mm-hmm. It's not all how we want it to be sometimes, but the Lord does hear our prayers.
Amen. Yes. Yep. Amen.
So, I mean, like, I felt like the Lord had me there, the right place, mm-hmm. at the right time. She left. Her roommate came and picked her up, but she left, and I prayed to God, and I told her I would continue praying for her, but I debated whether or not I wanted to share this today, just because I get nervous talking in front of people and stuff, but I really felt like the Lord was pressing it on my heart, yes. mm-hmm. that I needed to share with
you. Yes. Amen. So. Thank you. Thank you, Angela. Good job. You just never know what God can do if you'll just be obedient. My goodness. It's not you anyways, is it? It's Him. You're just the connector. You're just the contact point, right? You just never know. Just listening to your heart. Hey, can I pray for you? What God will do through your prayer. Amen? Thank you, Angela. That's a great testimony. Thank you. All right, get your Bibles out. We're going to get there in just a second. Obviously, got to get the word in. But I want to talk to you today about something. Generally, I plan out in prayer and fasting at the beginning of the year. I plan out probably 6 months of Sunday and Wednesday messages. And based on what's going on there, I'll get the second half of the year sometime. About this time, actually, I'll be working towards what we're doing the rest of the year. And after Easter, which obviously the series we did for Easter finished up last week, I marked down, I just felt in my heart that I wanted to begin a series on the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? Well, we're going to start that next week. And why do we talk about the kingdom of God? Because the subject that Jesus talked about the most was the kingdom of God. So why wouldn't we talk about that? So next week, we're going to jump into that. But probably about a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, I already had my list out, but I just felt to talk about what I want to talk about today. So I'm putting a one-off in between the Easter series and starting the kingdom of God next week. I want to talk to you about confession. The word of the day is confess. So if you want to write that down, how many of you have ever had somebody come to you and say, I have a confession to make? Anybody ever? And immediately you're going, oh boy, what are they going to tell me? You know what I'm talking about? Okay, well, I want to talk to you about confession, but I want to talk about it in regards to sin. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. You don't have to turn there. You don't need to put it up on the screen, Christian. But it says there, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that He has been raised from the dead, that we will be saved. Amen. Confession is part of a big picture look at our salvation. But in regards to sin, it's important. Now, before we get to define that word confession, let's just talk about sin for a second. If you've been around here for a long time, you know that I am not a fire and brimstone, you know, hellfire and brimstone preacher. How many know what I'm talking about? Those guys are like that, more power to them, but that's not my MO. But when I talk about sin, even though I'm not up here being loud about it, don't ever think I'm casual about it. Because sin is the problem. And there should be a resounding amen in the house.
Amen.
Thank you. The whole reason we did the whole business about Easter, Good Friday, and the Resurrection Sunday was because of sin.
Yes.
It is the problem. You can put a capital T-H-E in front of it. The problem that God came into this world to save us. And He saved us from sin to relationship with Him. So the word sin, let's just talk about this just for a minute. In the Bible, the word sin actually carries a connotation. It means to miss the mark or to miss the goal. That's what sin sort of means. That to miss, there's a goal out there. There's a mark we're supposed to strive for. And when we sin, we miss it. That's what sin means. There's some words in the Bible that are kind of used for sin, like iniquity. That word in the Bible, that means that iniquity is kind of going a crooked way instead of the right way. Transgression, that's another word we find in the Bible that's correlated with sin. Transgression is, in a certain way, the breaking of trust. But regardless of how and what words that the Bible uses in regards to sin, it's the fact that we are missing a goal. And that goal is something we talked about in our Easter series probably 3 or 4 weeks ago, is that we are to be image bearers of God in this world, reflecting him in this world. And when sin comes, it mars the image of God, our ability to live as he called us to live, and therefore we're missing that mark. In other words, when God made us, he had an intention for how we are to live. And sin messes it up. And we start to live in a way that God did not intend. So sin is a failure, if you want to think about it this way, is a failure to be truly human in God's original intentions. And if you just spend some time reading through the Bible, you will see things the Bible says are sin. And things that you should not be participating in. And it's not just, hey, don't do this, but because of death comes on all levels because of sin, then it's not just, hey, don't do this, but this is actually deadly to you. Your inward being, eventually your physical being, and certainly what the Bible calls the second death, which is separation from God for all of eternity. Sin has consequences, and God judges sin. And I think in the Christian life, hopefully, you listen to the conviction of the Holy Spirit that he is reminding you and showing you and leading away not only what sin is, but away from sin. As you grow in your Christian faith, you'll learn there are things in your life that should not be a part of your life. You know how many times over the years being a pastor, either I teach something or somebody comes to me because they've been reading their Bible or whatever, they say, you know what? I had no idea that was something that I shouldn't be doing in my life. I'm like, now that you know, let's go. So the Holy Spirit will lead us through a life where he's bringing us back into right walking with him, which means right relationship, okay? I'm thankful when I got saved that, I knew there were certain things that needed to change. It was obvious, but the Holy Spirit didn't show up with this big, giant list because I would have been overwhelmed because there was a list of stuff about me that needed to change. But over time and growth, he's revealing things to me and showing me things and then with the help of the Holy Spirit to grow in these things. Amen? But sin is the problem. Jesus comes to deal with our sin. But we have to be honest about sin and call sin what it is. Sin. When you know it's sin, so call it sin. You hear what I'm saying? If I know there's something that is sin, and I am tempted, whether my flesh is trying to rise up or something around me, I see something or hear something that tries to draw me into temptation, or even the plans of the enemy, he can come and try to bring thoughts to your mind and things like this. If I know it's sin, in that moment, what do I have to call it?
Sin.
I can't give excuse for it. I know it's a temptation. I have to say, you know what? I'm being tempted to sin right now. And you can't give excuse for it. You can't sugarcoat it. You can't do anything. You got to say, that's sin. That's bad. That's destructive for me. So how about I flee from it? Why entertain it if I know it's sin? That makes no sense. If you really hold to the front of your faith that Jesus died on the cross for my what?
Sin.
Personally. For all of humanity, amen, but also for me. I'm in humanity. For me, Jesus paid the penalty for my sin. Why would I entertain it? See, I'm getting at. It's sin. And if I'm aware it's sin in this moment of my life, then, listen to me, it's not just I shouldn't participate in it. I believe that each one of you can live free from it. Now, I get, yes, we're humans. Yes, we're not perfect. Yes, we will fall. I get it. But never use those things as an excuse to go into sin anyways. Yes, there are things that are probably in your life that you are unaware of. Don't worry. The Holy Spirit's getting there. Don't worry. You're covered in your forgiveness. But if you are aware and you know it is sin, it is your job to flee from it and not participate in it. You've been called. How many know what I'm talking about? Let me see. Now, to say all that to get to this, well, what does confession have to do with that? Who do I got? Christian. Christian does a great job back there. Christian, throw the first slide up for me. I want to bring a definition to confession for you. Confession is to come into agreement with God. That is a simple definition of the word confess means. Confess means to agree with. And biblically, it means that I see this the way God sees it. And not only do I see it the way God sees it, I agree with the way God sees it. So in other words, when I confess a sin, I am saying, God, I agree with you that this action or this thought or this perspective or this attitude is not true life. And not only do I need to be forgiven, but now I must be in the process of change. That's what confession is. Remember, God is holy and God is just, and he is the one who sets forth what life truly is. So in other words, without God, if you remove God from the situation, anything's really permissible because man's left up to himself to decide good and evil, right and wrong, what's ethical. And certainly then we do that. And you see a lot of things that happen in our world because we are deciding what is right and what is wrong. But God does not leave us to ourselves if we look to him. God defines what true life is all about. And when you confess, it is actually an action of your total physical being. In other words, it involves your mind. To confess it is to speak it with your tongue. So now your physical being is involved, your mind, your tongue, your voice. But it also involves your heart, biblically speaking, the seat of who you are. Confession involves all of you. And it is learning in your agreement with God to let your yes be yes. Kind of like this. If I confess a sin, and I do it to him in prayer, I come to him and I confess a sin. I've made a mistake, and I know it's sin, and I confess it. I've got to let my yes be yes right then, and not later let it be a no. In other words, go against my confession. If I confess a sin, I am saying, God, I agree with you that that was wrong. And I agree with your way that my life should now start to live. See, confession is part of the big picture repentance. Repentance isn't just going to God for forgiveness, but it means that then with the forgiveness of sins, I will now turn from that sin in my life and go the opposite way. Confession is a part of that. I confess what I have done, Lord, is not right. I agree with you. Please forgive me. Now I will take my life and turn away from that sin. We often ask God to forgive us of things we have no intention of changing. We feel guilty in the moment. We feel shameful in the moment. We know it was wrong. We know it was sin. We know we stepped out of the bounds. We know we missed the mark. We come to God, ask for forgiveness, but yet in our hearts, We have no intention of changing from it. You know why I say that? Because most of us do not do then what is necessary to turn from that sin. And there may be a whole bunch of things that need to go into doing what is necessary to turn from that sin, so our confession is my yes. See, I'm getting at. So to confess your sins is to come into agreement with God. Now, second slide for me, Christian, if you would. Confession is the opposite of concealing your sin. Proverbs chapter 28. Now, let's get our Bibles out here. Proverbs chapter 28. Can leave that slide up just for a couple moments, Christian, if you would. Confession is the opposite of concealing your sin. Now, let me just say something before I read this proverb. You confess your sins originally in your salvation. How many of you have a moment that you know you were saved? Let me see. You had that moment. You confessed your sins. Okay. Your eternity at that moment is taken care of. Amen. Right? True? Amen. And you are forgiven. You are justified from everything that's in your past. But yet we're going to live forward and be what we call sanctified. In other words, we're going to work out our salvation. And Paul writes it sometimes with fear and trembling. I'm going to work out my salvation. Yes, there is my initial confession unto salvation for the forgiveness of my sins. But yet, the ongoing work of sanctification in your life, there will be moments where you come back and confess sins again. So it's not just a one-time thing. That in your life as a believer, when you do make a mistake and you do sin and you do miss the mark and you have every intention of turning from that sin, we come to him and continue a dialogue of agreement, bringing your life into what he has called you to be. You see, I'm getting at. And what confession is, not only the beginning of your salvation, but all the way through your Christian life, is it is the opposite of concealing a sin. So, Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13. Here's the wisdom of the Proverbs. Whoever conceals his transgression or his sin will not prosper. In other words, ultimately it catches up with you. But he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain what? Mercy. See, confession of your sin is an uncovering that you obtain mercy. Now, let me tell you something. You know this, but let me remind you. When you confess a sin to God, it's not a surprise to him. It's not like he goes, oh my goodness, I had no idea. Man, you took me by surprise right there. My goodness. Whew. Made my heart flutter a little bit there. He knows. It is ultimately concealing yourself from his mercy and the working of grace in your life. You see that? God knows, but yet we need to come to a place where we bring ourselves into agreement with him. You will always be as sick as your secrets. You will always be as sick right here as your secrets. The concealing of sin in your life. This sin that you're trying to cover and hide and continue in. You will always be as sick as your secrets. When it comes to sin, secret is not good. Trying to cover your tracks. Now and then feeling guilty enough to ask for forgiveness, but really no work to change. You'll always be as sick internally as your secrets. See, the struggle to be free from sin starts with confession. That I bring myself into agreement that God, this sin is not right, it's not pleasing, and I need help. Confession is a cry for help. First John chapter number 1, verse number 8. Go all the way back towards the back of your New Testament. First John chapter 1 and verse 8. If I can find it, that'd be great. Here we go. Says there this. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. But here we go. If we confess our sins, in other words, we are not concealing them. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Well, thanks, John, for saying that. See, God is the only one who alone can forgive you of your sin. Again, original confession into salvation, but ongoing confession as you work out your salvation. This is the ongoing activity of God in your life, to be free from sin. And you can. Amen. Now, after salvation, if you confess a sin, it's not like you're getting re-saved all over again. You're continually walk out the grace that he's afforded you. All right? You're saved, but you got to keep on working. On who? You. But every time you come to him and confess, I'm coming to agreement. Lord, I made a mistake. I missed the mark. I messed up. And you confess every single time, the Bible says he is faithful, he is just, and he forgives you of your sins and what? Cleanses you from all unrighteousness. I love murder mysteries. How many like murder mysteries? I love Agatha Christie. How many ever read Agatha Christie? I love Agatha Christie. Now, every time Margaret and I search for something to watch together, I'm always trying to get her to watch some murder mystery with me, right? If you're the murderer, don't be a murderer. But if you are in the movie, you know, they kill somebody, then they're trying to clean the blood up and they're trying to cover their... It never works. They get caught because you can't completely cover your tracks. Eventually, somebody gets you. Oh, my goodness, but God completely cleanses us. Cleanses you of all unrighteousness and leaves no tracks. Amen. He doesn't remember it anymore. He doesn't hold it over your head. He cleanses you. Why would you conceal a sin when you have a God who does that? My goodness. But there's something that goes along with it. And the Bible says something else about confession that I want to talk to you about. And this may be a little new to some of you. So we go to God for forgiveness in our confession. But there's some other people that we may be able to confess our sins to also. James chapter 5. Just go a little bit in front of 1 John where we just were. James chapter 5. And verse 13. Is any among you suffering? Let him pray. If anyone cheerful, let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is great as it is, power as it's working, powerful and effective. Amen. So we confess our sins to God to bring ourselves into alignment with him so he can forgive us, but then help us in the life that we're called to live. But yet, there's this thing called the body of believers that James, and by the way, James was the leader of the Jerusalem church. as the church was blowing out into the world, James was the leader of the epicenter, the Jerusalem church. He's the brother of Jesus, by the way. And James says, here's something that can be effective for you in the process of healing in your life, that you confess your sins to one another. See, part of the reason we have a body of believers gathered together is not only to be equipped together into all things, the maturity of the faith, but we're called to help one another. To help bear one another's burdens. To strengthen and encourage one another. And if somebody's down in the pit, to kind of help them up out of the pit. When somebody has trouble carrying on, there are a couple of us grab alongside and pick them up and help carry them along. The consistency of the church is built in helping bear one another's burdens. Therefore, to confess your sins to one another. Now, confess all your sins to everybody? Nope. But in proper relationship, built in the church, where we love one another, forgive one another, bear one another's burdens, put up with those with weak in faith, and all these different things the Bible says, in proper relationship to be able to confess a sin. Not that they have any power to forgive you, but to help you. You know why we don't do it? Because the church has been terrible at something called trust. Let's be honest. And I'm not just talking about us. I'm talking about worldwide church. We're not good with trust. Man, gossip, slander. I was friends with you for a while, but you made me mad. Now I'm telling your business. How many know what I'm talking about? That we could be a body of believers that in relationship, not up here with the microphone in front of everybody, but in built relationship, part of the body of believers is built relationship, to be able to personally with somebody else confess a sin. I brought this to the Lord. I'm struggling. I'm telling you, just pray for me. Help me. I want to turn from this. The Holy Spirit is helping me, but I could use some extra help. You confess a sin. But the church hasn't been good with trust. I don't want a church where people have to feel like they have to wear a mask all the time. That if you come to church and we're worshiping together, we're talking together, we're listening to word, and the whole time you're sitting here thinking, I hope nobody ever really discovers the real me. That there is a foundation of relationships that we build in the church that you can, at times, be very honest with somebody about where you're at in your life. And know that there's trust there. Unless it's a certain circumstance, there's confidentiality there. Knowing that if there's some sort of discipline that has to come from church, that's not your job, it's mine. I'll do it properly. Standing for the Lord someday of what I've done. That those who fall in sin, the Bible says, Galatians 6, that they'll be restored back, and it says they're gently. That we're a people that are in this together, growing together, and helping one another. Amen. The confession of a sin to another is simply to get help. Now, So when I was in college, freshman in college, you know, you get to know the guys in your dorm and on your hallway. I lived in Scott First North, and I lived in room 122 for 4 years, okay? For whatever reason, you know, when you get to know people, they knew I was there for ministry, get my Bible degree, right? Which I didn't really tell anybody, but there was a vote for, they do different, like, officers for the dorm in the hallway. I got voted as dorm well, I don't even know what you would call it, not counselor, but I was the guy that they could come talk to about their mess, and in the bylaws of the school, if they talked to somebody, then they got in trouble, they would be absolved because they talked to somebody. I was having guys all the time coming down, knocking on my door, can I talk to you? I'm just like, no, but yeah, come on in. So starting that in college, and I hated it, by the way. I didn't want to listen to everybody's issues, but that's just me maturing and growing up. But then since I'm pastoring, you know how many times somebody's come and confessed a sin to me? Oh, my goodness. But here's what does not happen. I get to be Holy Spirit Junior in your life now. He don't need my help that way. It's not our job to be private detectives about people's lives. Well, you know, Lori seems a little off. Let me just try to figure out what's wrong with her. Or just randomly trying to insert myself into people's lives because I kind of know something's going on. Well, I'm just gonna get in there and fix it. Yes, there are times you speak up to your brothers and sisters. Yes, there are times you put yourself there, but you're not the Holy Spirit. What happens is when we confess our sins to one another, then we act that way, it drives out the ability for that to happen. Because trust is broken. You see, when somebody comes and confesses a sin to me, I'm like, okay, what can I do to help you? Nothing, I just want prayer. I'm going to pray. Can you encourage me now and then? Yep, I'll do that. I may suggest, hey, here's some further help that I suggest you jump into, your choice. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pray tooth and nail for you. And I'm going to believe that God, with the Holy Spirit, is going to help you turn away from that sin and be free. Amen. So that's why we confess our sins to one another. You know something, people can come to this church and say, nobody ever talks to me. I feel out of place when I come. Listen to me. We are here every Sunday and Wednesday, and that will never stop. Amen. Come talk to somebody. Sometimes you got to step out yourself. Can't expect everybody to step into you. We have small groups that meet. Guys groups, ladies groups. Are you part of a small group? Small groups aren't there so you confess your sins to them, but hopefully relationships are built in such a way you feel comfortable to talking to somebody if you need to. Are you part of a small group? We even do something like a church picnic. Why do we do a church picnic? So we get to know each other. I desire relationships to be built in the church in such a way that we can help one another so you don't have to do this alone. Amen. Bear up each other. Fight for one another. And do it together. Because my idea of a church is that ultimately we interlock arms in a certain way. And we do this long-term discipleship until the day we all breathe our last, helping each other live for Jesus. You see that? Helping each other. And there's always going to be some people that are out front. And there's always going to be people at the back kind of being dragged along because there's a struggle. And that's okay. But then sometimes that people in the back that were struggling, now they're jumping up front. Now they're helping somebody else that was up front, but now they're back. They're struggling. And we do it together. Bringing all of us into agreement with God. There is a certain way to live by our confession. Therefore, we will help each other do it. If you've ever been burned by somebody in a church, or you've had people in the church that overstepped their bounds and inserting themselves into your life, I didn't do it to you, but I apologize to you. I'm sorry. That's not God's intention. Don't let it jade you from the community of believers and the benefit of it. Amen? Keep striving Jesus, but keep building lives together. See, real life needs real relationships. We're made to be relational beings for a purpose. Part of it is a community of faith that, again, we help one another. Amen?
Amen.
That's what I desire. I got some guys in my life that if I have something, I talk to them. I've told you the name. A guy named Paul lives in Lima, Ohio. A guy named Mark, he lives in Georgia. I'll talk to these guys. Even me, the pastor, has people that I can confide in. Because I know I need it. I call my friend Mark up. Say, Mark, you know what? Life right now really stinks. He goes, all right, let's talk. How many ever done that? And on the other side, have you felt a little better? Why? Because talking helps. Now, by the way, confession to somebody is not to say a sin so then you can feel better about yourself and keep on doing it. Oh, I got that off my chest. I feel better. No. It's part of this process of change. But you know, when I talk to Mark, you know, I know I don't have to say, he doesn't have to say, I know he then starts praying for me. Very specifically about whatever I talk to him about. To know you have people in your life like that. Amen? Now, by the way, that's not everybody. I don't have 20 people I do that with. But foundational relationships that you build that are in the faith, they themselves are growing, that you can turn to. That's part of why we're sitting here today. Amen? Let's do this together.
Yes.
All the way through. Amen.
Amen? Amen?
Don't worry about putting on a mask on when you come. We're all doing this, man.
Yes.
All doing it. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. How about we close like this? Everybody stand up. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just. Cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If you have sin in your life right now that you've been concealing, how about you just blow that door wide open right now and take it to him right now? He knows. Say, Lord, I've been playing around with this. I've been trying to make an excuse for it. I've been living in this, and I know it's not right. But I am today making a stand for righteousness in my life. And Lord, I confess this sin to you because I agree with you that it should not be in my life. And I believe, Lord, that you have forgiven me. Because the word says you do. And I hold on to that. Maybe it's hard for you to believe that. But now start to fight with this. Because when I walk out this door today, there will be nothing that will stop me with the help of the Holy Spirit. I will do whatever is necessary to turn my back on this sin. To walk free. And because I know sin is destructive, I know it's against who you are, God. Because I know ultimately it continually leaves the door open for the enemy, it leaves the door open for him to have activity in my life. I will start to get my yes be yes. to turn to you when I need help, to immerse myself in the word about this, to start putting away things that bring me into temptation. And I'll actually ask for help with somebody else that they can pray for me and be there when I reach out. So we give these things over to you, Lord. That we are a church that's striving after you. No secrets. No secrets, Lord. Striving after you. Lord, not because you're just this big rule maker, but you are teaching us what life is truly all about. It's found in freedom. That our hearts are set like flint. And against these things, we will not be moved. So hear us today. Hear us today. We're going to live for you. Holy Spirit, your conviction is very clear to us. Lord, we don't feel overwhelmed at all. That as you guide us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake, that you're with us every step of the way. I thank you for that. I thank you for freedom. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Everybody look at me. Do you believe that? Huh? Do you believe that? Do you believe you don't have to live in it anymore? Do you believe he can help you be free?
Yes.
Now, you think of that the next time you feel tempted. Gird yourself up. Be strong of spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All righty. I'm going to let you go. If you need prayer today, you want to talk about a little bit more about what we talked about, come on down. I'd love to spend a moment with you. Next Steps is meeting downstairs, a greeter meeting. If you were here for a greeter meeting, you can meet right over here. I'll get with you as soon as I'm done. So anybody that's a greeter, young person, adult, whatever, I'm going to meet with you. Be blessed as you go today. Love somebody today. Have a wonderful, wonderful week.